We thank you for your work on the cross, Lord, for how you have brought us into a relationship with the Father. I thank you for the work that you've done in my life, Lord, for the lives of the work that you've done in the lives of Noreen and so many other people, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified today, Lord, that you would help us to speak clearly and listen well, and that you would get all the praise today. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. My name is Chris Campella. I fellowship at Grace Bible Chapel in San Jose. And today it brings me great joy to share a portion of my testimony, specifically through the lens of how discipleship has impacted my walk with Jesus. I was born into a home with two God-fearing parents. I grew up going to church. My earliest memories of Jesus involve Sunday school, Bible studies, VBS, Awana, Christian summer camps. I was really given every opportunity to know the Lord at a very early age. And yet, so much of my life was wasted living life on my own terms. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." My way was often taking shortcuts in life, bending rules as I saw fit. I prided myself on being able to talk, reason, charm, or lie my way out of any of the situations that I got myself into. And to add to that, I cared about what people thought, and I wanted to be respected by them. So I let people around me shape my values, perspectives, and actions. By middle school, I was frequently disciplined in school, and I became callous to correction. And by high school, I was in full rebellion. I became obsessed with my life and partying, and with that came exposure to drugs and alcohol. I never stopped to think about what the consequences were, because I was in control of my life, and I didn't think they'd ever come. I remember sitting in my driveway, sitting in the car in my driveway, talking to a brother that was trying to lead me to the Lord and saying, "I know I need Jesus, but not right now. I'll come back later." Proverbs 16:8 says, "Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before stumbling." I needed to be humbled, and I didn't know the path of destruction that I was on. That lesson came 2 years into college, when I was home for the summer. I was arrested for drinking and driving, and for the first time, I was made abundantly aware of the consequences of my actions. I was no longer in control of my life, and this terrified me. And I recognized that my actions were sin. I could have died that night, and if I had, I was destined for a life separated from God for eternity. I was no longer in denial that the drugs and alcohol were problems in my life. I was humbled, and I accepted Jesus' payment on the cross for my sins and received him as my personal Lord and Savior. I got plugged in at Saltworks right away and was being discipled through follow-up. Under the guidance of that same brother that sat with me in the driveway, I grew in the Lord. I began to experience my new position as a child of God, and being assured of my salvation, I obeyed the Lord in baptism, right over there. I began to value spending time with the Lord in the Word and in prayer, and I felt empowered to live my life victoriously over sin. These are the first six lessons of follow-up. The next two lessons of follow-up would have been on fellowshipping with the Lord and obeying the Lord, but I never got to do those lessons. The year ended, and it was time for me to go back to San Diego to college. It never occurred to me that there was a choice to be made there. When I returned to college, I was determined to grow in my faith. In many ways, I was like the Israelites in Exodus 19:8, saying, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." I didn't know enough to know what I was agreeing to, and that I had no shot at keeping that promise. And I was utterly unequipped to pick myself up from a fall. Because drugs and alcohol were such a big part of my life before getting saved, I made the mistake of thinking those were my only problems. My relationship with Jesus became less about me and him and more about staying sober. There was no fellowship with the Lord, and in most of the other areas of my life, there was no obedience. Interestingly enough, these were the next two lessons of follow-up, that I would have completed with my discipler. Within 6 months, I was back on drugs and alcohol, and I never really attended church consistently for more than a few months at a time. When I fell hard because I didn't know how to pick myself up, and I lacked the support system to help me. I was ashamed that I had fallen so quickly, and I thought the Lord wanted nothing to do with me. The next 10 years went by in the blink of an eye. During those years, I continued to try to find fulfillment in people, money, respect, and all the things the world could offer, but to no avail, as I drifted further and further from the Lord. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." And I tried everything. And on the outside, things might have looked pretty good, but it all kept disappointing me and leaving me unsatisfied. And I kept making a mess of my life. In February of 2024, I finally made a call to that same discipler that sat with me in my driveway, shared the gospel with me, and walked me through follow-up. He encouraged me to come to GBC where he was fellowshipping. And so I came back again, broken again. Life shattered in a million pieces because of my choices and actions. And I'll never forget that first breaking of bread, just completely overwhelmed, floored by God's unconditional love for me. I had willfully separated myself from him for 12 years, and all he wanted was for me to repent and be restored to fellowship. Romans 2:5 says, "Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance?" Slowly, I began to heal. That summer, I participated in STEP, and it rooted me in the gospel and challenged me to respond to God's perfect gift with a life fully committed to the Lord. I also started to meet with a second discipler during this time, and we've continued to meet ever since, discussing various topics from life to Bible study methods. After STEP, I was hungry, and I continued in discipleship through Scopos. During Scopos, working with my discipler, God revealed that my addiction was just a symptom of a much greater problem. The rule-breaking, the above-the-law mentality, the desire to be respected by people, these all pointed to my own prideful, selfish desire to be God, for myself and for the people around me. I began to understand how all the things I had turned to for fulfillment were simply my ways of playing God in my own life. And I was a foolish, short-sighted God. I thought peace was job security, a bank balance, and an occasional vacation. I thought love was found in relationships and validation. I thought joy was living life in excess with all the experiences and material wealth money could buy. I also realized everything I wanted and tried so hard to give myself, God had already gifted me in himself through the gospel. Why would I continue to do things my way when I actually had no ability to give myself any of the things that I wanted? This realization and many more like it were part of God's refining process. Through testing, he has continued to put me in situations where he uncovers more of my unyielded spirit, more areas where I'm not trusting him. I keep saying to him, I'm fully submitted, and he keeps showing me that I'm not. It's a tough process, but in it there's growth, and through it, I get to know Jesus better, and I become more like him. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Far beyond all comparison. There's nothing like it. Before the Lord, I longed for a life that counted, that made an impact, that would be remembered. But I wanted that for my own glory. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added." This specific desire to make a lasting impact has been granted as I've submitted to the will of God. As my relationship with the Lord deepened, he grew in me a burden for the youth. And I got some of my fan clubs sitting here in the front row. You guys encourage my faith. I really love you guys, like each of you. You guys, like making decisions to live for the Lord, it pumps me up. And so I just press on. I really appreciate that. You know, Junior high and high school were periods in my life that were especially pivotal when I first made conscious decisions to serve myself instead of the Lord. The Lord provided opportunities to serve, first through junior high camp and then in the GBC youth group. But I soon realized that I lacked many of the skills I needed to accurately handle the word as a teacher, answer more complex doctrinal questions, share the gospel, and be a discipler myself. This summer, God has used STEP to grow me so much and prepare me to do the work he has called me to. And through the ministries that he's put me in, I get to actually make an impact that's eternal. All these things have been added in his way and in his time. I want to be clear that my discipler, these programs, they are not what the Christian life is all about. It's not a curriculum that must be completed. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's what life is all about. Knowing Jesus, period. Discipleship, STEP, Scopos, they're all just tools to bring you into a deeper understanding to walk in the relationship that God wants you, as he intended. It's like hunting for treasure. Paul describes knowing Christ as the prize. And finding that prize gets a whole lot easier when you search with someone that's already found what you're looking for. We're so blessed to have these godly examples and resources available to us. Don't waste the opportunities you've been given. I squandered opportunities I was given. I wasted years of my life looking for things in all the wrong places. But God never gave up on me. He kept pursuing me patiently. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slow as some count slowness, but he is patient, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." But it doesn't mean I didn't waste time. Joel 2:25 says, "Then I will make up to you for the years that the swarming locusts have eaten." In his abounding grace, he has fully restored the life that I threw away and given me all that my soul desires, far more abundantly beyond all I could ask or think. I encourage you all to prayerfully consider if the Lord is leading you to be discipled or to be a discipler.